ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 2, text 44. Those of you who know the verse can please chant after me, line by line.
Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam
Maya
pahrita
chetasam
Vyavasayat vika
buddhi
Samadho na vidhiyate.
Translation. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Purport. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti says, Samyag adhiyate svim.
Hare Krishna.
Atma tatvo yat hamyam. Yat hamyam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is called samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. This verse comes in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is where the Lord begins His instruction to Arjuna. And from understanding this verse, we can understand the difference between Krishna consciousness and what Srila Prabhupada refers to as mundane religion. The statement mundane religion may seem, or the phrase mundane religion may seem like an oxymoron, which means a contradictory statement. It's something like saying dry water. Doesn't make sense, does it? So mundane religion. How can religion be mundane? Because religion is meant for a higher purpose. Religion means to be in contact with God, or there are some kinds of religion that are not very much God-focused, but at least the idea is there's something spiritual. So mundane religion means mundane spiritual, but spiritual means that which is above the mundane. So what is Prabhupada referring to by mundane religion? What he's referring to is practically everything that goes on in the world in the name of religion. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted, paraphrasing from the second chapter of Srimad, from the second verse at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, Priti vite jato kata dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale, which means that whatever is going on in the name of religion in the world is simply cheating. Spiritual, when we say this word, it's a common word, just like people often say, well, I have spiritual interest, or I'm interested in spiritualism. We often hear that. But their interest in spiritualism can often lead them to this puja room in here, which if you go in here, you'll find the purport of
prithivite jato kata dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale paripurna complete cheating biggest cheating no one likes a cheat there are so many cheats you can go on the internet and do a lottery and then well you didn't win okay I didn't win but then you find out that no one won except the person who was organizing the lottery because they didn't allot any winners they just they gave the first prize to themselves and the second prize and the third prize and all the prizes so there are so many cases you buy a car used car as you go the person says very good condition and you pay the money and you drive it home and the chassis breaks and so you feel oh, I was cheated so no one likes a cheat But in the field of religion, people like to be cheated. Whereas normally people don't like to be cheated, but in the field of religion, people willingly are cheated. Because actually the whole material world is a place of cheating. We are cheating ourselves by presuming that we can be happy. By bhog, material enjoyment, and aishvarya, amassing wealth, we presume we can be happy. Which is, whether or not you mind me saying so, probably why you're all here. You didn't come here because you like the climate better than India. But it's, of course I'm not blaming you, but it's an economic fact that Indians are coming here because they find that they can earn more money by doing the same work. And it's presumed that, or it's the mistake of modern, not only modern society, but throughout the ages, that by improving our economic condition, that means we'll have more bhoga, and aishvarya, and that automatically we shall be more happy by doing so. It is the myth that is sustaining human society. Traditional Indian culture, or Vedic culture, accommodated that spirit. There was dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And most people in this Chatur Varga, most people were interested in three Varga, namely Dharma, Artha and Kama. Not many people were interested in Moksha. Dharma, that's why this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Dharma Nama Chale, what is going in the name of Dharma? What is going in the name of Dharma is simply something that to improve our economic situation so that we can enjoy pious sense gratification. On the understanding that improved material enjoyment ultimately comes from performing pious activities. On the understanding that we get what we deserve according to our karmic activities. And that if we perform our duty according to the laws of Shastra, that we will be rewarded with Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri, birth in a good family, so-called good family. Aishvarya means wealth, opulence, Janmaishwarya, Shuta, good intelligence, good learning, and Sri, bodily beauty, and bodily good health, which is health, bodily good health seems so difficult to achieve in the modern age. So many people are doing so many things, me too, exercises, and diet control and all this, because what was normal previously that people would have
fairly good health, it's become difficult to attain. So people presume that if you follow the prescriptions of Shastra, which means to follow Dharma, then you will be rewarded with artha, money, and then you can have kama, higher sense enjoyment. And then those who are more spiritually advanced then become interested in moksha, which is considered the last stage or the highest stage of the path of following Sanatana Dharma. That generally people perform dharma with the aim of getting artha. And when you have artha, then you can live comfortably, and then you can have kama. You can fulfill your sensual desires. But it's considered that those who are the most advanced, then they can pursue dharma for the sake of moksha. Dharma sya hi apabhargya sya. In Bhagavatam it said that dharma is meant for apavarga, for moksha. Another name for moksha is apavarga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what is that moksha? First we'll consider. Moksha means to be freed from bhogaishvarya prasakti. From the strong attachment for material sense enjoyment and wealth. So moksha that is conceived of by some as merging into the existence of the Supreme. Whereas the Vaishnava Acharyas, they say that moksha means to go to Vaikuntha. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't accept. In the words of his principal biographer, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when he's describing how dharma, this Srimad Bhagavatam rejects cheating religion from the beginning. Dharma projita kaitava atra. Herein, it's at the beginning of the book, just to tell you, just like you'll see on the book, it gives little summary, what's it? Introduction, what's it all about? So Srimad Bhagavatam begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, glorifying Vasudeva, and in one verse, summarizing, who is this Vasudeva? Janmadhyasya Yataha. These four words, Janma Adi, Janmadhyasya Yataha, is, it's a very, very big topic. It's the subject matter of all the Vedas. So, briefly describes Vasudeva, and then next verse begins, Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. Herein, in this Srimad Bhagavatam, all kinds of cheating religion are fully rejected. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and his Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the means, it's both the summit pinnacle of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam and the very means to fully understand Srimad Bhagavatam through the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So commenting on this, he says that dharma projita kaitava atra, cheating religion is rejected here. He says this means dharma artha kama moksha, which this chaturvaga is the whole basis of what could be called traditional Hindu society. Of course, modern tradition, modern Hindu society, the basis is getting a degree and going to the Gulf, or watching Bollywood movies and eating pizzas, things like this. But traditional Hindu society is based on Chaturvarga, and that is glorified in the Vedas, Mahabharata, Ramayana. In Gita, which is part of Mahabharata, of course, Krishna, he says, Trigunya Vishayo Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjana, that these Vedas, they're mostly concerned with the three modes of material nature. Sattva, Raja, Tama. So, rise above these modes, O Arjuna, Krishna. He says, Nistrigunya. Be free of the three modes. So, to be free of the three modes of material nature means to rise above them, because there's nothing below them. So it means you have to go above them. There's nothing below tamagun. That means to come to the state of shuddha sattva. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. To the state of vasudeva, understanding vasudeva. So anyway, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami discussing this, he says that dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they are all kinds of cheating. Although described in the Vedas, it's a shocking statement. But actually that's true. The Vedas, they're meant to bring us gradually to the real purpose of the Vedas. Vedasya sarvarahameva vedah. All the Vedas are meant for understanding Krishna. So, we may find that in other parts of the Vedas it recommends do this, do that, go to Swarga Loka, develop the Kundalini Shakti. So many things are there. But it's all meant to pull us gradually to Krishna. That should be distinguished from some of the things in that room there which have got nothing to do with anything in the Vedas. If the Vedic processes are considered inappropriate, then what to speak of dressing up some fisherwoman from Kerala as Durga or something like this? I mean, it's long, long way from anything actually religious. So, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, that is, in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it means it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself described that Krishna Vishaya Prema Param Purushartha Jar Age Trinatula Chari Purushartha. He said that Prema, love based on Krishna, the subject matter is Krishna, Krishna Vishaya Prema Param Purushartha. It is the actual Purushartha, Paramartha, the actual necessity. Elsewhere, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes Prem Prayoja. Our real necessity is to develop love of Krishna. And he says, Jara Agi Chuna Tula Chari Purushartha. In comparison with which, this love of Krishna, in comparison with which, dharma, artha, kama and moksha are just like straw in the street. Insignificant. So, anyway, to get back to what is the description? That of this cheating religion, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that of all the types of cheating religion, that means dharma, artha, kata, kama, moksha, Taramadhe Mokavancha Kaita Pradhan Jaha Hoite Krishna Bhakti Hoi Antardhan. He says that of the different kinds of cheating, the worst is the desire for liberation, because that destroys the very feeling of bhakti, the possibility of bhakti. This is why we have to learn actually what is bhakti from bona fide acharyas. Because in India there is a great misconception as to what is bhakti, which was promulgated by Sripad Shankaracharya on the order of Narayana. Lord Shiva took the role of an acharya to cheat the people, and he taught that bhakti is meant to lead to moksha, in which one becomes the Supreme Brahman. Actually, in Shankaracharya, he doesn't speak of Supreme Brahman, he only speaks of Brahman. So he said, bhakti leads to gyan, and gyan leads to moksha, and moksha means to become one with God. But bhakti means to, the actual meaning of bhakti is to be, to understand that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Bhakti means that one has selfless devotion to Krishna, understanding he is Prabhu, I am Das. But if we think I'll do bhakti and then later, now I'm doing puja, later on I'll jump up on the Krishna, I'll jump up on the altar, throw Krishna off, and if he wants he can worship me, I shall become God. That's what they're thinking. And in Shankaracharya's teachings, you can worship Krishna, you can worship Durga, you can worship this one, that one, because bhakti is only a means. But the actual meaning of bhakti is bhakti, that is jiva surup hoy Krishna nityadas. That is the intrinsic characteristic of the jiva, is to be the servant of Krishna. It is not a means to anything else. It is the very meaning of our existence. So, in the stage of sadhana, bhakti is a means. It is upai, but it is also upaya. It is the goal also. Therefore, in Shastra, it is stated that what is that? Bhakti is chained about bhaktya sujataya bhaktya. Bhakti comes from bhakti. Just like Prabhupada was asked, what does this chanting of Hare Krishna lead to? Prabhupada said, more chanting. Chanting is the means and the end. Now we are chanting, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. And when actually engaged, please engage me in more service. That is the meaning of chanting Hare Krishna. So there is a great misunderstanding about what bhakti is. And many people presume themselves to be in bhakti without any proper understanding. And therefore people think that, well, you can worship any god and it's all the same. And previously we had 33 crores, but there's no harm in inventing a few more also. Have to be modern, keep up with the times. And why God is only coming in Mathura, why not in Kerala and Bangalore, and why not a few local gods also? So, these are some of the problems that arise. Therefore, we have to learn, we have to be trained in what is bhakti, actually. Rupa Goswami has given the actual definition of bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakam adhyanavritam anukulyana krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. Uttama bhakti means that uttama, which is, uttama means darkness. So that which is free from material illusion. Bhakti, if it's executed for material gain, oh Krishna, I love you very much, give me a new car. That's not bhakti.
Srinivas wine shops. 20% of the profit goes to Balaji. Balaji gives blessings and the money goes to him and the government takes it. And then the government ministers take the money and go to Srinivas wine shop and drink the wine, and the money goes round and round like this. Of course they don't go to the wine shop, they own the wine shop, but they... Anyway, this is all cheating religion. It's just some different examples. Those of you who are from Andhra Pradesh, you can understand. Saptagiri hatcheries and all this kind of thing. Ugh. How they can do? How sinful? How sinful? They want to make the law of their partner in crime. He's the big dada. What rascals. They think it's being pious. So, anyabhilashita shunya, without any personal desire, and definitely jnana kamadhi anavritam, not this desire to, now I'll worship Krishna, later I will merge into the, I will become one. No, not that either. Anukulena Krishna Rishidam. Anukul, favorably performing devotional service according to the rules and regulations given by Rupa Goswami himself. He has collected them, he has given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has very kindly translated as Nectar of Devotion. Who's read this book, Nectar of Devotion? Hands up, please. Hi. You didn't read? Never read. It's a very important book. You should all read. You want to be devotees, you have to read this book. Because it tells, this book, Rupa Goswami has kindly compiled, describes why bhakti is the only auspicious path, giving so many quotations from Shastra. What is the meaning of bhakti? How to execute it? What are the pitfalls in executing it? What is the result of executing it? What is the perfectional stage? So it's the, Prabhupada said this is the handbook of the Krishna consciousness movement. How we can, all the whole gamut of bhakti yoga. Prabhupada gave the subtitle, The Nature of Devotion, the Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga. So please read that book. Of course, you have to see how to get them here. You can also get it on the internet. There's different ways of doing it. So, Rupa Goswami's definition of Bhakti Yoga is that which is free from any personal desire, but bhogaishvarya prasaktanam thayaparita chetasam vivasayataka buddhi samadhona vidhiyate. We are attached since time immemorial to material enjoyment. So it's difficult to fix the mind, even we're trying to take to bhakti. Therefore we have to follow the process given by Rupa Goswami. That means he's given, collecting from all shastras, what is the process of bhakti. Ādo shraddha, in the beginning one should have some faith. Tataha sadhu sangha, then one should associate, with faith one should associate with devotees. Atah bhajana kriya, then under the guidance of devotees one should perform the activities of devotional service. This bhajan, what is this bhajan? How to do bhajan? Rupa Goswami has given 64 principles. Ado go vashaya krishna dikshanu shikshanam vishrantina guru seva. Beginning with taking shelter of a spiritual master, taking initiation, shiksha, the most important thing. Taking instruction, serving him. So like this, Rupa Goswami has given what are the 64 basic principles of bhakti. As a result of following which there will be anartha nivritti. All the unwanted things in the heart will be cleansed away. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsari. This will be cleansed away. Then gradually one can advance. So this is the process. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken to clarify
What is our need? Our need is to perform devotional service to Krishna. That has been expounded more by Rupa Goswami, who is the principal emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for describing and defining his teachings. In academic circles, Gaudiya Vaishnavas are usually referred to as Chaitanyaites. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas themselves, they don't use this term. They either say Gaudiya or Rupanuga. Particularly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used this term, Rupanuga. Means follower of Rupa Goswami. Why Rupa Goswami? If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the prominent figure, then why Rupanuga? Because Sri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Sthabitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Shrapananta. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to teach, Rupa Goswami ascertained that, and on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order codified it, defined it, gave it in literature. So therefore the parampara importantly comes through Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati used to use this term Rupa Anuga to clarify the point that we have real Gaudiya means Rupa Anuga, one who follows Rupa Goswami. Because there are so many who, in the name of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're simply following their own mind and senses and remaining Bhogaishvarya Prasakta, attached to material enjoyment in the name of serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I request you to try to understand what are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the parampara coming down through Rupa Goswami, which very importantly has come in the modern world through Srila Prabhupada. So please try to understand very clearly. It may be, you see, that we often find, like Prabhupada said, that Prabhupada said, and we can see ourselves also, people in India, many, they have a natural aptitude for bhakti. That is, many people, not all, but many, have a natural aptitude. Just like at Saptagiri, Tirumala, we see so many people going up, Govinda, 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 they're calling up. All day and night, people are there. And so many places, no, that's the most frequented temple, but there's so many temples. And by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, the bhakti cult is booming in India. Actually, that's a fact. It's by the grace of Prabhupada. Otherwise, when I first came to India in 1976, there wasn't that much interest, actually. But nowadays, just like Govardhan, there were a few people used to do parikrama. Now they made a big road. There was no road around Govardhan. And during certain seasons of the year, that's completely packed. The whole 14 kilometers, you can hardly move. Because previously there were just a few people coming. So that's just why it's picked up because of Prabhupada's powerful preaching. So many people in India are discovering that yes, we should take to bhakti. But one possible disadvantage of this natural inclination towards bhakti is to consider that, well, I already have bhakti. But the inclination towards bhakti doesn't mean that one is automatically perfect. Just like we find, this is a mundane example, but we find that people are born with different inclinations. Someone may be born with a
then he has, if you look in the chart, you'll see, oh, this child has an inclination towards music. They have a natural aptitude for music. That doesn't mean that they don't need training. Still they need training. There are some exceptions. Mozart was making compositions by the age of 5. So there may be some exceptions, but still you need training. Someone is born as a doctor's son. So then someone is coming in for heart surgery, and they bring the doctor and say, well, what's your qualification? Well, I'm a doctor's son. So, you know, my father was a heart surgeon. What's your qualification? He has to be trained also. Simply to have an inclination is not enough. Just like we hear so many people say, oh, my grandmother was a great devotee. She used to get up every morning and, well, what about you, sir? You have to do also. So there may be this tendency to think, yes, yes, we're all devoted. But actually one has to take training and understand. Otherwise, it may be that in the name of bhakti, we're being cheated by maya also. We just presume we know what is bhakti. But actually this bhakti is science, the complete science of bhakti yoga, by which we become free from all material desires and fully surrender to Krishna. Now it may be that we go to Vrindavan and we see someone living in a hut with just a loincloth, this coping kamandalu, and we think, oh, very renounced. But it may be that even though such a person has no bhog or aishvarya, no, not apparent, but maybe also, because it may be that some people, they enjoy the status of being praised as a virakt sadhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he exposed that duṣṭamaṁ tumi kīṣe vaiṣṇava pratiṣṭhā tare nirjana ghare tava hari nāma keval kaita. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? For the sake of honor, you are going and living alone, but your so-called Harinam is only cheating. It's a very strong indictment. But he was seeing that unless there is actually a spirit of selfless service to Krishna, that apparent renunciation may not be renunciation at all. Prabhupada told us that he said, don't think you can sit at Radha Kund. This is the first time I came to India in 1976, Prabhupada said, if you sit at Radha Kund, you will simply think of women and money and eat and sleep and fall down. He was saying to his Western disciples at that time. So, it's very important to understand all this. So many points. What is one's own adhikar for bhakti? How much one is actually qualified? So many things have to be considered. So it's a great opportunity by the grace of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which has come to us through Srila Prabhupada, to take to devotional service. We should take that very seriously so that we can avail of the teachings of the Shastras, and all the acharyas and make straightforward progress on the path back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So many things to be discussed, but not all at one time. I'll finish here. Hare Krishna, are there any questions, please? Any questions, comments, protests? Anyone understood what I said? Anything? Nothing? Means everyone completely accepts everything I said. Ah, yes, please.
Please give us a few steps on truth.
Few steps.
Or directions. I know it's large.
True bhakti. Well, I gave the definition in that class, according to Rupa Goswami, in a nutshell. He summarized what is true bhakti. Can you remember what I said? I elaborated for maybe 5 minutes on this very subject.
It's being servant
of... I'll say the verse again. What is true bhakti? Anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutanam. Let's go through it word by word. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Anya means other. Abhilash means ichcha, desire. Abhilashita, the tendency to desire. So being freed from the tendency to all, anyabhilashita shunyam, being freed from the tendency from all other kinds of desires, except to serve Krishna. Jnana karmadi means karma, jnana, yoga, siddhi, all these different kinds of desires. Anavritam, uncovered, not being covered. That means that bhakti should not be karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra. If we worship Krishna with bhakti, but we're praying like this, God, I love you very much, give me a new car. That's, at best, we could call that karma mishra bhakti. Or jnana mishra bhakti. To perform bhakti, but to think that one can understand Krishna simply by some intellectual process. Even by studying Shastra. Putting more emphasis on the intellectual process rather than the surrendering process, sharanagati. So all these kind of desires, they cover bhakti, but bhakti should be uncovered, free from all such desires. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Krishna Anushilanam means cultivation of Krishna consciousness. That means by following the sadhana process, vaidhi bhakti sadhana. Anukulena, in a manner that is favorable, in a manner that is pleasing to Krishna. Bhakti rutama. This is true bhakti or uttama bhakti. Another quotation. Bhakti means sharanagati, or the way of taking shelter of Krishna. So Rupa Goswami has also quoted from Shastra, Narada Pancharatra, I believe. What does it mean to surrender to Krishna? What does it mean to take shelter of Krishna? So this is a very big topic, but he's summarized in 6 characteristics of sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna, or surrendering to Krishna. That is, anukulyasya sankalpa, the firm determination to perform only activities which are favorable for cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And concomitantly, pratikulyasya bharjana, whatever is obstructive to the development of Krishna consciousness should be fully given up. Rakshishititi vishvaso, firm faith that Krishna will protect me. Gopritvivaranam tata, and to think that Krishna only is my maintainer. I don't have to go to this demigod, that demigod. Only Krishna. Atmanikshepa. To dedicate ourselves, body, mind and words, in the service of Krishna. Atmanikshepa. Karpanya. Humility. To think, I am very poor and fallen. Sharavidha Sharanagati. These are the six symptoms of surrender. So these are all very wonderful things, isn't it? So you can, you'll find in Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that he states these seminal points, then he explains them all in details with examples of different devotees and how they've done this. It's very beautiful. So please, if you can get some of these books, it's very important for all the devotees. Nectar of Devotion. Hare Krishna.
I have a question not related to the class. Most of us in Doha, we have worshipping Jagannath Mahadev Subhadra. I checked that in Balagun Maharaj about Subhadra's birth. It's not mentioned in Bhagavatam anyway.
Subhadra, we find in Bhagavatam, she's the daughter of Devaki. Also.
You have mentioned it's not there.
I found it. Someone asked me and I looked it up. If you want, you found that also? So I can't claim to be a, have more knowledge of Bhagavatam than Radha Govind Maharaj, but I did find that. And that's also confirmed by Happy Mother, Joking Mother. You know, actually they must have seen your name and given that name. Now it's Vijay, but Vinod is definitely a suitable name for you also. He's always happy and joking. It's a name for Krishna. So we should all be Bhakti Vinod, following the footsteps of Bhakti Vinod. Be happy in Krishna consciousness. But details are not given. You won't get, you see, often people ask so many questions where all the details of everything won't be given. We already have so many bhakti, we have so many literatures. Then if you want to know, you know, exactly what did Kartavya Arjuna look like, and then you explain, well, he looks like this and he has a mole on his left chin, and what was the karmic reason that he had a mole on his left chin, and there's no end, you know. There's so, we have, that's why we have to take what is the sar. Parikshit Maharaj, he is described as sarangri, one who takes, he had only 7 days to live, so he inquired from Shukadeva Goswami, he was, what if the, on the essential topic, what do I really need to know? There are so many things we may no, but what do we really essentially need to know? So on that platform, Shukadeva Goswami explained to Parikshit Maharaj, nothing peripheral. We find in other Puranas, there are many peripheral topics. Just like in, for instance, in Garuda Purana, you'll find so much description of gems and the different effects of different gems and different kinds of ghosts. How you can become different kinds of ghosts. Don't become a ghost, chant Hare Krishna. But how, and what are the descriptions, what do they look like, and what are their effects. But Bhagavatam simply states, you chant the name of the Lord and all these ghosts will go. And the gems are not discussed because what do you need that for? Chanting Hare Krishna. So it concentrates on the essence. Hare Krishna. Anything else?
It's interesting to know how you got Krishna consciousness, how you actually started.
I described it in these books. Jai Srila Prabhupada and my memories of Srila Prabhupada.
If you want to answer, then answer is there.
Yeah. Many people ask me how I met Prabhupada, so I put it in a book. What did he say to me? All these different things.
Single most?
Well, I didn't know any Gita shlokas when I first came. I learned them afterwards. You see, for most Indians, what will happen is you may have some interest, then you'll come to some satsang, then you'll hear some Gita shlokas. But for people in the West, it doesn't often happen like that, because we never heard of Bhagavad. Well, we heard of Bhagavad Gita, but we didn't know any shlokas. Actually, nowadays most Indians don't know any shlokas either. They know Sachin Tendulkar's batting average, but they don't know any Gita shlokas.
Your favorite?
Hmm?
Your favorite?
My favorite? Well, I'm afraid of having anything favorite. I have to think what Krishna wants for me. Rather than what I want for Krishna. How I like to serve Krishna. Rather we should think how Krishna wants me to serve Him. Bhakti should be performed only for the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, we are also sub-enjoyers. We enjoy by serving Krishna. But if I think I shall enjoy, I shall do this as I like, then that's not pure bhakti. But naturally there are different tastes in bhakti. There are so many different stories. I don't know, it's very difficult for me to think what is, it's a great ocean, so which is better? It's difficult to say. There's so many wonderful things. We have a vast ocean of wonderful verses and Vaishnav Sangeet. So many wonderful things. It's too nice to say which is best. As Prabhupada said, it's like a sugar cube. You can lick it anywhere, everywhere it's sweet. And even many verses in Bhagavatam, they may not seem sweet. They may seem very karva, not very nice. And they're also, just like we have this Nunam Pramatah Kurate Vikarma Yadindriya Pritya Apinoti Nasadu Nasadu Yam. Oh, now I'm forgetting. Apinoti Nasadu Yam. Oh, my brain. I left it in Bahrain. Brain Bahrain. Nasadu manye yata atmano yam asanapi kleshata asadeha. Rishabhdev says that people are insane who perform sinful activities, which simply for the sake of the gratification of their senses, because it is not good because it causes them to take birth again and again and to suffer in various ways again and again. So generally people don't like to hear this kind of verse. They like to hear Krishna dancing with the gopis. But we probably need to hear this kind of verse more, considering our own position. What do you think? Rishabhdev's instructions. How does that begin? Yeah. Rishabhdev. Nayang deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan kamanahate virbujam yuktapodivyam putrika yena satyam shudyad yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. He said that having attained this human form of life, we should not endeavor for sense gratification, which is available even to animals like hogs that eat stool. Rather, we should perform austerities that will purify us and lead us to the position of eternal transcendental bliss. So mostly people don't like to hear this. They like to take a shortcut. We'll jump, take a long pole vault into Ras Lila, but there's no pole vault. We have to go through the process. We have to give up sense gratification. Bhoga Ishvarya Prasaktam. We have to give up attachment to material sense gratification. Now, simultaneously, we develop taste for Krishna consciousness. It's not that we just try to get rid of material desires. Side by side, the two things go together. But we should understand that the intimate details of Krishna consciousness are only available to those who are free from any desire except that to satisfy Krishna. Where's the program tomorrow in your? Okay, I'd like to speak more about this tomorrow because there's one very important purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Prabhupada speaks about this based on the teachings of Narottam Das Thakur. Yeah, so you're going to say something?
I want to know during Rasa you're talking about Rasa. People are not aware of what age Rasa dance would play. People think that
Rasa dance, yes, and Krishna was just a young boy, he was 7-8 years old. But of course Krishna is at any age, Krishna is not 7 or 8 years old. Ajopi sanavya yatna, bhutanam ishvaropi sa. He's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even from, if we want to accuse Krishna, we should understand that even if you think he's a materialistic sense enjoyer, then where is the question of lust?